Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
Lights have been green for baby boomers most of our lives. We were born between 1946 and 1964 and raised during the biggest, most sustained economic boost in human history. We were sent to college and sometimes grad school when it was cheap or nearly free, and then we went to work. We were able to set up a 401k and start investing in stocks when the Dow Jones was, get this, 1,000. But according to an article in Barron's I was reading recently, boomers are unprepared for retirement because of seven deadly sins. Find out what these are and, more importantly, what you can do to avoid falling into one of these traps. Good morning. This is Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander. If you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions every single week. That's because I am a financial advisor and an attorney, and I've been in this business for just about 30 years. So according to Barron's, a recent study was conducted by the Insured Retirement Institute, and they found that 1 in 10 boomers are unprepared for retirement. 1 in 10. How could that be? Well, the stock market is way up since you started working. Real estate prices are through the roof. So what is it? Why is only one person out of 10 prepared? Well, the reason is because of these seven deadly sins, according to this article. And so today we're going to walk through the seven sins of retirement and what you need to know about them, how you can avoid them, and make sure that your retirement goes the way you want it to before it's too late. Don't become a statistic. Stick around. Now let's get started. Well, it was quite a week on the market. A lot of news out there. There was a bunch of corporate earnings coming out, all pretty good. Economic data, the Fed meeting, and of course, the regulatory-induced sell-off in China. Made the last week of July quite a week. There was a lot of push and pull, equities finishing slightly lower. The Dow was off 0.4%, S&P off 0.4%, NASDAQ down 1.1%. 10-year Treasury still hanging in at 1.23%, and oil, $73.85 a barrel. So overall, from an economic standpoint, some interesting news came out this week. After six quarters, unprecedented fiscal monetary support, economic activity is now, get this, above the 2019 peak before the pandemic. Believe it or not, this was historic. So we went from one of the deepest recessions in U.S. history, also one of the shortest, and growth in the second half of the year was unbelievable as the economy continued to transition into expansion mode. And so we think the business cycle overall remains young, and we think that over the next 18 months, the economy will grow above the 2.3% average pace that we've seen since 2010. So that's all good. And this week we had the Fed speak, and of course, the Fed is one of the main pillars holding up the economy. And let's see what the Fed decision meant for the market. So the FOMC, again on Wednesday, took another step towards tapering. It didn't alter the expected timeline for when they're going to do this. But from a stock standpoint, what it means is that the Fed is going to be removing accommodation, but it's going to be at literally the pace of a glacier. And it's reasonable to expect that this quantitative easing will continue and start to unfold probably in mid-22 is when we're going to see it. And I expect some sort of rate hike late 22, probably early 23 at this point. So that leaves the historic Fed support pillar. Remember, we have four pillars holding up the economy right now. The Fed's one of them, and that leaves it in place. Now, Chairman Powell also acknowledged that higher inflation is there, and he admitted that it's going to be with us longer than they had originally thought, which was something that was new. But right now, it's not to the point where it's going to change their policy. So the practical result of all this is the Fed is going to allow inflation to continue to run hot, and they're going to seek to build longer-term inflation, which they think is healthy overall. And both of those catalysts, as I've been saying over and over, are a positive when it comes to stock. And finally, Chairman Powell talked about the coronavirus, the Delta variant that we talked about last week. And he said that people, this is a quote, people have learned to live with it and they aren't changing their lifestyles much anymore, end quote. So bottom line, I think the Fed policy will continue to promote this better economic growth. And this is positive for cyclical and value investors. And certainly it'll drive higher inflation, which is positive for commodities, and higher bond yields. But what can go wrong? Well, if inflation gets ahead of what the Fed's targeting, that'll force them to take action. And if it happens, that will possibly create some problems here in the market. But if it continues to unravel the way that the Fed's driving it, which so far so good, that's just going to continue to benefit the cyclical and value styles that we keep talking about. And after that occurs, then we may see some sort of inflation at some point. But we just have to keep seeing, that's all. And so I think you still have a few more quarters to go before you need to get excited about that. Now, what about the vaccine mandates versus the mask? As you remember last week, we were talking about the Delta variant and COVID. Of course, the vaccine is another one of the pillars. There's four pillars supporting the economy. The vaccine working and people being able to go back to work, the economy being able to continue to open up, that is all supported by the vaccine. And so the question came up, what about these vaccine mandates versus a mask mandate? And as you know, the CDC reversed its position and they said that vaccinated people should be wearing masks indoors where there is a lot of COVID. And that headline caused some selling in the market, but mask mandates are not the same thing as restriction on businesses. And as I'm sure you've heard, a lot of restaurants in the Bay Area are asking people to wear masks in the restaurants. And they're asking if they're vaccinated as well, if they don't want to wear a mask. And so these mask mandates really don't influence the economy. And there's still no evidence that a mask mandate or rising COVID cases, for that matter, are impacting the market the way that we would think it was. These are very short-term pullbacks. So I'm saying this because when I look at stocks like Jets or PEJ, they're up more than 1% over the last week, despite the fact that we're getting this sort of guidance from the CDC. And until we hear from the airlines, the restaurants, or hotels that the mask mandates are impacting business, then I'd still view COVID anxiety selling as an opportunity for you to buy. And so the increase in COVID cases is increasing vaccinations. I don't know if you know that. According to Bloomberg, the pace of daily vaccinations has risen from 506,000 in early July to just under 600,000 as of July 26. So additionally, the increase in COVID is resulting in vaccine mandates, whether they're implicit or explicit. And so you're seeing that in the Bay Area where they're, you know, asking you to be vaccinated if you're going to be walking into their private restaurant. And more notably recently, the University of California, for both students and faculty staff, are going to require it. A lot of universities are doing the same thing if kids want to go back to class. In the medium and long term, I think a vaccine mandate is much more powerful and bullish than a mask mandate would be negative. So clearly vaccines are a highly debated topic from a market standpoint. And if the Delta variant increases vaccinations yet doesn't result in any lockdown and only minor guideline changes, for instance, like masks, Then it's going to be a medium and longer term positive for the market overall. And look, I'm not trying to ignore the human side of this. And clearly, we never want anyone to get sick. And our thoughts are with those struggling against this virus. But from a market standpoint, this is positive for the economy. And the get out and spend names should continue to do pretty well. So a lot of people keep asking me then, okay, well, assuming the economy keeps opening up, you know, why is inflation not taking it down? Why is the debt and deficit not getting out of control? Where is this going? And I'll keep saying, look, it's about demand right now. And so these questions I'm getting over the last few weeks is, how is the surging inflation not hurting the economy? And how can treasuries keep rallying with the exploding debt and deficits that are happening? And the bottom line, it's demand. So 2 months ago, I don't know if you recall, I was going back to the Indy 500, and I was speaking to an executive from a major home supplier, and I asked him about material costs, and he told me costs are through the roof, but margins were way up despite that increase because there was so much housing demand that higher sale prices were more than offsetting the material price increase. And freight and other costs are up as much as 50%, but because demand is so strong, it just doesn't matter. And it's not impacting business. And so regarding treasuries, yes, U.S. deficit and debt is exploding, but domestic and international demand for treasuries is super strong. And the reason for that is because there's no alternative out there. At 1.28%, the 10-year treasury is the highest yield of any stable country out there, particularly when you compare it against Germany or the Japanese bank, or even the British banks. Our 10-year treasury is paying almost double, in some cases triple, what they're paying. And so there really is no alternative out there. And until there is, the exploding debt and deficit is just not going to hurt treasuries at this point. So while demand is strong, inflation and fiscal absurdity will become the problems in the future if they're not fixed. And the practical result of all this is musical chairs for now. So as long as demand is strong and the four pillars are intact, we have to run while the music plays. And when it stops and the chairs get pulled, well, that's when you have to pay attention. And that's why I'm maintaining a positive outlook on stocks overall. And again, I prefer the cyclical exposure stocks instead of the super cap tech. And don't confuse this medium-term bullishness I'm talking about with a lack of concern for the negative effects of inflation or an exploding debt, because when that music stops, when it turns off, we're going to have to find the chair. And that's why we're watching the four pillars so closely. And each week when I bring the market report and I talk about inflation expectations so closely, you know, we do that at least once a month, get into some detail on that. Want to pay attention to that, because if that changes, well, that will tell me that within the next 6, 9, or 18 months, something could be coming. So for now, we continue to favor the balanced portfolio, equity weightings, healthy weightings to financials, commodities, materials, industrials, and consumer discretionary. And until that changes, well, it's just more of the same music. Next week, we're going to be looking at construction spending, we're going to be looking at hourly wage growth and consumer credit to see what's going on. Now, coming up next, don't get caught committing one of the 7 deadly sins of retirement, because if you do, it could seriously derail your retirement. Find out what these retirement planning sins are and how to help avoid them. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. We'll be right back.
You can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. Baby boomers have had it pretty good most of their lives. They were raised during the biggest, most sustained economic boom in human history. Got to go to college, maybe even grad school, when it was relatively cheap. And then when they started to work, well, you had a 401k and the Dow Jones was trading around 1,000. So if you invest in stocks, you've done pretty well. But according to an article in Barron's, 1 in 10 boomers are prepared for retirement. 1 in 10. And the reason is because of 7 deadly retirement sins. So what are these 7 sins and how can you avoid them wrecking your retirement? Well, let's walk through them. The first one is probably the most obvious. And I think we're all guilty of it at some point of our lives because we're human. And that would be the sin of sloth. Conventional guidance tells us to write up a retirement plan. And if you do, then, well, you're all set, right? Wrong. According to the survey, it's a lot harder to save for retirement. And this IRI survey found 23% of boomers had zero retirement savings. So the first thing you need to do, if you're hearing this right now, if this is you, is figure out a way to start saving something. Now, I hear this all the time. It's tough. And I've heard people say, when I listen to your show, it turns me off. I can't do it. I can't save. It frustrates me. Well, I have some help for you this morning. If you have a cell phone and you listen to podcasts, say on Spotify or Apple Music or anything you get your podcasts on, then type in this. Type in Protect Your Assets and then Financial Fitness Show. That's the one you want, the Financial Fitness Show. And listen to my podcast where I help you outline how even if you think you can't save, there are some habits you can start today that can make it easy for you to start putting some money away. And you may think, well, it's insignificant. It's not going to really matter. It is going to matter. It's going to make a big difference. So again, check out the podcast, Protect Your Assets, and look at the Financial Fitness Show. Next, not calculating a retirement savings goal. I couldn't believe this. Of those surveyed who had a financial advisor, so these people actually had a financial advisor, 25% of them hadn't set a goal. Huh? And of those who didn't have a financial advisor, well, this is worse, 75% of them hadn't set a goal. Again, we're talking about a retirement savings goal. So the first thing you can do is do yourself a favor and get yourself a financial advisor. And if you already have one, well, make sure they help you calculate a retirement savings goal that's realistic and helps you achieve it. Because after all, that's what a great coach does, is help you get great success. Now, next on the list is lust, or chasing recent performance because it's done well recently. Now, there are so many examples I can think of over this last year, over these last 12 months. Let's talk about last year. Well, Tesla was doing great, wasn't it? Last year it was on fire. The stock was way up. It did fantastic. But look at it as of right now. Right now, year to date, it's almost off 25%. You could say the same thing for crypto. Remember crypto, just crypto as a category. I'm not saying that some individual cryptos haven't done well, but as a category, it was red hot at the beginning of the year. Now it's pulled off a little bit, in some cases a lot. Or small caps. Small caps were doing tremendously well up through June, and then all of a sudden it turned around. So to combat this sort of behavior, while you're chasing the hot dot, if that's you, it's important that you study the market and trends and historical prices and performance of these popular investments when they grab your attention. Something you can do is you can go look on the internet at historical charts, for example, and they'll show you the rise and fall of any investment over time that you are looking at. And if you can't find that, well, that's a pretty good indication that maybe you shouldn't be buying it. And certainly you shouldn't be putting your entire retirement account in it. Instead of looking just at prices, say over the past few months or a couple of years, look at the long-term history over periods extending back, I'd say at least 10 years. And if it's possible, sometimes you can see longer than that, 20, even 25 years. And that's a good history indication of what you might expect in terms of volatility in a particular position you're looking at. Studies also show that investor returns in individual stocks often lag those of mutual funds or ETFs. So it could be better for you to adopt a strategy where you consistently invest in a set of funds that match your objectives and your time horizon over time in a regular manner. So this smooths out your entry point into these particular investments. Try not to pay attention to daily news reports. I know, or what your friends tell you. I know this is all very exciting and it seems like, well, they're really smart. They know what to do. You know, nobody really knows. That's the bottom line. So try not to pay attention to these reports or the advertisements that tout these popular investments. And so what I would recommend you do is, again, try and listen to the Financial Fitness show that we talked about. Lay down some good habits, some good dollar cost averaging strategies, and start to put that money away. So as you start to save for retirement, or if you're saving for retirement now, don't get lazy about it. Maybe increase it a little bit. On today's show, as you know, we're going to be talking about the seven sins of retirement planning. And if you're one of those right now, maybe you're thinking about retirement. Maybe you're counting down the days to retirement, or maybe because of changes at work right now, retirement is coming a lot sooner than you expected. Well, if you're trying to manage all of this, you shouldn't spend another minute worrying about whether or not you're going to have enough for retirement or whether you're going to be able to stay on top of it all, because that's not what your retirement is all about. You're supposed to be enjoying retirement and creating memories, not worrying about it. Coming up next, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where the sin of pride could wipe you out. Find out what it is and how you can avoid this trap. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack.
If you've missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is ask your Amazon Echo smart speaker by saying, "Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast." Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And if you haven't tried out our new technology yet, you got to check it out. We keep doing great updates to it, whether you're on Alexa or Google. It's a lot of fun. So go have an interactive conversation with me and see if you can trip me up. It's a super lot of fun. According to an article in Barron's, 1 in 10 baby boomers are prepared for retirement. So that leaves 90% who aren't. And that's because of seven so-called retirement sins. What are these seven sins and how can you avoid them ruining your retirement? Well, that's a great question. And that's what we're going over today. If you're just tuning in and missed any of it, check out our website where you can find the podcast where we went through the seven sins. It should be posted later tonight and you can find out what they are. And if you like the podcast, hey, please tell a friend. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers, and here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
All right, so here's one they say. They say that many people underestimate how expensive health costs can be in retirement. Is this true or is it an irrational fear? Well, here's some sobering statistics for you. This is incredible. As of 2021, this was analysis conducted by the Health View Services. They estimated that a healthy couple, get this, in their mid-60s, would need, you ready for this? $661,156 for retirement healthcare expenses. Now, I'm not talking about long-term care. I'm talking about regular medical expenses through retirement. $661,000. Most people nearing retirement have no clue about this number. If you're going to add to that the cost of long-term care, which for men, by the way, guys, it's 2.2 years is how long we're going to need it. For women, 3.7 years is the average. And if you have to deal with the dementia or Alzheimer's, 8 years. And this could cost you an additional $255,000 up to $930,000 on top of the $661,000. Yeah, I know. I mean, medical care is something that you have to plan for before, hear me clearly, before you retire. I can't tell you how many people we've met who come in, they're already out the door, and they haven't thought about this issue. It is a big one. And so when you start to look at the package of your retirement, you absolutely must consider how you're going to pay for this. Now, as you know, most of you, when you leave work, you have COBRA for a period of time. With the pandemic we just went through, that was extended. But a lot of those benefits are coming to an end towards the end of this year. And once that's over, you're on your own. And so now is the time, if you haven't started looking at your healthcare or what you're going to do, how are you going to pay for this? How is this going to integrate into your financial plan? It's super important that you prepare and understand these costs right now before it's too late. Now, long-term care is a whole nother issue, and we've come up with many creative ways for you to cover your long-term care expense. Recently, I saw a statement from a client who was with a company that used to be GE. They've changed their name now. They're Genworth. And this particular client, again, this is a unique situation, but he had a premium increase in order to keep his benefits going the same way he'd been paying for them for about 10 years. He was going to have to come up with about 60% more premium per year to keep those benefits equal to what they've been going since he started the policy. And so that's a shock, because if you're in retirement and all of a sudden now you have to come up with that much more money each year just to keep your policy in place, that may cause you to make some decisions with your money that you may not like. You may have to take the options that they offer you, which are lower monthly and annual benefits, lower caps, lower inflation adjustments, just because that's what's affordable to you. Well, then what happens if your care becomes more protracted and you need more than, say, 2 or 3 or 4 years of care? Then what? So these are things that you need to prepare for before it's too late. And I think that's why we're different than most firms, is that we are also a law firm. And we have estate planning and long-term care elder law attorneys who are in our practice that have over 100 years of experience doing this. And so we look at these cases all the time, and we help our clients prepare for what's coming, what they don't know could happen to them, make sure their documents are in order, make sure they're ready to deal with this stuff as it pops up, because long-term care is certainly no fun, and it's no fun when you have to figure out how you're going to pay for it, let alone figure out how you're going to receive it. The next sin on the list is pride or vainglory. I see this one all the time, but it comes in a really innocent way when you're thinking of retiring, and here's how that is. It's called mishandling your retirement date. What do I mean by this? Well, again, according to this IRR survey, 31% of boomers predict they're going to work past age 70. But studies have found fewer than 10%. You heard me right. 10% actually do. Now, I get it. Most of my clients who work past 70, they do it because they can. The work gives them a purpose each and every day, and they wake up each morning and know what they're going to be doing. And this helps them live, helps them thrive, helps them stay active. And there's nothing wrong with that to a point. I'm going to ask you this morning to be a little bit more realistic about what you physically can and can't do. Again, this gets to the sin of pride or vainglory, because maybe in your mind you think you can do it, but in reality you can't. Or maybe you're not as good as you were. And you know it. You know what I'm talking about. So this is an opportunity for you to be a little bit more realistic about what you physically can do and what you can't do. And with that energy, which you have, obviously, take it and put it to something that is better for you. Meaning maybe you take up a new exercise routine that you do more regularly. Or maybe you devote more time to learning about the food that you eat each day and how you contribute to the overall environment and creating a healthier world for everybody. And you can do that by educating yourself about certain things that you eat. I talk a lot about that on the show, about different ideas. So today I'd like you, if you eat fish or you're into fish, watch on Netflix something called Seaspiracy. Some of it's disturbing, I'll tell you that right now, but it's certainly interesting about what's going on in the ocean, and it will give you some perspective on how you approach seafood going forward as you start to think about your retirement. So these are things and areas where you can spend time, and you can certainly educate yourself. And let's face it, if you're learning something each day, learning something new, trying something new, well, guess what? That's good for you, and that will keep you going as opposed to doing nothing or doing the same thing over and over again and not realizing that you're really not benefiting yourself physically or health-wise either, because maybe you're just grinding yourself down more than you really realize. So check yourself. That's all I'm asking you to do this morning. It's time for a quick break, but when we come back, find out what the number one sin in retirement is. It's coming up next, so stick around.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show protect your assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And isn't that name, Protect Your Assets, right now so relevant when markets seem to be at all-time highs and we're just waiting for Humpty Dumpty to fall off the wall? Well, how are you can convert that value in your account to income when you retire that will last the rest of your life? You can find out so much more about that at our website. Go visit libertygroupllc.com. Again, libertygroupllc.com. We have a resources tab, and there's lots of great free information for you to download right there. Now, if you're just joining us, we've been speaking about a recent article that was in Barron's that showed how 1 in 10 boomers are prepared for retirement. 1 in 10, and that's because of 7 sins they're committing without really even knowing about it until it's too late. So the last sin of retirement planning that people tend to commit is one that is pretty easy to avoid with just a little planning ahead of time, and that is setting your affairs in order. And I know this morning we've been talking about this IRI survey, and possibly the most astonishing revelation is buried in the footnotes. But get this, about 2/3 of boomers have taken no steps to protect themselves if they suffer diminished capacity or dementia. They haven't spelled out their wishes for their care and end of life. They haven't sorted out a power of attorney for when one is needed. And as anyone who has been through this process can tell you, the chances are pretty high that if you wait to do this stuff until it's too late, well, it's too late. And so just to talk to you about some stories that are happening in the Bay Area right now, if you have to end up in a probate court where a judge can appoint someone to step in for you, if you haven't done this sort of paperwork, it can take a long time. There's sure ways where we can expedite the process, but right now, because of the courts being so backed up because of the pandemic, sometimes it can take 6 months, a year. In some cases, there's cases we're working on that are over 3 years through those probate courts, and so you need to stay out of court. Think about that. And the easiest way to do it is for you to develop your own power of attorney, whether it's a financial or a health care, which will enable somebody to step in your shoes and make decisions for yourself. Now, even if you're married, even if you have a spouse, doesn't automatically mean that he or she or they have the potential to step in your shoes. They don't. Unless you put it in writing here in California, it's a unique state, after all, you need to make sure that it's in writing and you need to make sure that the documents are up to date. Now, when was the last time, if you have documents, that you looked at them, that you made sure they're up to date? As I've been talking about quite a bit, there's been quite a few law changes. We had a very significant one occur last year. It was passed in November. It became effective February of this year. It was Proposition 19. If you own real estate, whether it's a primary residence or a rental building or any kind of property, and you're planning on passing that on to your children, well, guess what? When they receive it, the tax basis will jump up to the fair market value of the property at that time. They still will get the property, yes. But the question is, will they be able to stay in the property? And if the taxes on that property go up from your current Prop 13 low cost to the new appraised value, which will be a much higher cost, that might force them to have to sell that property and cash out, which again could bring up all kinds of other problems like capital gain tax and all sorts of other things. So these are the sort of areas that if you're thinking about transferring assets that you've worked so hard for to your family, if you're wanting to make sure while you're alive, maybe you're incapacitated, that your wishes, that where you want to have your care, maybe it's in your home, maybe it's in your living room, I don't know, wherever it happens to be, please, please take this morning to make sure that you get your documents in order. And that's why it's so important to talk to an attorney who specializes in this area. Financial planners do not do this legally. They're not supposed to do this legally. You need to talk to an attorney. I want to say thank you to the Protect Your Assets team this morning for putting together another great show. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers, Phil and Felicia and Brett, for doing all the work back there. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And the legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.